out National Grief Awareness today. We're going to be picking from our fishbowl. And also, Bianca's going to be telling us what the drink of the day is that we are sipping on.
Get your glasses. Get your ice.
If y'all have this stuff at home, y'all can grab it and drink along with us. If not, then try it later and then come back into our inbox and let us know how the drink tasted, if it was good, if it was bad, what we need to improve on. So,
all right, it's really good.
And turn it over to Bianca and let her go ahead and tell us what the drink of the day that she came up with, and we're gonna make it.
So, this is the drink of the day. It starts with there goes my chair. You need your ice.
Come back in. Oh, you gotta bring all your stuff, girl. Come on in. So they can see you.
You need your Mike's Hard Lemonade. Bam! This is the hard strawberry lemonade. Boom, boom, boom. You need your mixed fruit, strawberries, mangoes. You already put your ice in there. Put a little fruit up in the cup.
It's fruit so good.
Fruit up in the cup. So, there's a little mango in there.
Make sure you dance too.
We already got our drinks, so you know the bag is a little low. We already got our ice in there. Somebody pop the lid. Pop the top, baby! The whole. Well, probably not the whole.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, I the need whole. My other drink. Where's my assistant? Oh, I think. Great.
Look, you forgot how to make your own drink.
I need my other drink. Yep. Another drink. Yep. I knew that. A little bit of cranberry. Cran pineapple. Bam.
I didn't even know they had a cran pineapple.
What?
Yes.
Top it off with a
you
little bit
of... You
wouldn't
know this if you drank.
Whatever. He's not a drinker.
Whatever. Whatever.
That's why I might be taking her crap.
Boom.
Yeah, those drinkers know.
That's all you need right there, baby. All you need with a little bit of ice and some fruit. I guess I got two drinks.
Mine's already gone.
She says, I guess I got two drinks.
But can I get that one?
Can you top me off?
Come on, y'all.
Are y'all already drinking? Drink.
Yay. Hey.
Third time.
And this is really good.
This is a nice
summertime chiller.
Yes.
Oh,
it's
you passing
nice
me
and
this?
Fresh. Yes.
Okay.
Strawberries,
pineapples, mangoes.
I'm not going to drink it. I'm going to pass mine to support because I'm allergic to mostly everything that is in here.
Oh, she's trying to kill us.
You're trying to kill me.
And that's our drink. It is Julissa's Sunrise. Something like that.
Julissa's Sunrise. Good job, Julissa.
Very good.
Thank you for that job.
Thank you for the refreshment today.
Thank you.
I need some of
And excuse me, y'all, I'm going to bring my water out because I need my water. All right. Excuse me. So, once again, today is National Grief Awareness Day. So, we're going to open up talking about that a little bit. And then we're going to go into our fishbowl, which this is what we pick out of. And we don't know. There's tons of topics in here. We're never going to know what we're talking about when we pick out of here. So we're going to pick out of it and discuss whatever it is. Something may be a sensitive subject to us, so you may sometimes see us cry or upset or anything like that, but that's what we are here for each other as sisters. So we're going to turn it over to Christina. She's going to start us off with our grief awareness topic.
Hey, guys. So what I wanted to shed some light on today is the 5 steps of grieving. Oftentimes, people may be grieving or they exhibit symptoms of it and they don't really know if they are or that they are until they actually talk about it a little bit. So, the first step of grief is denial. You're shocked, you're numb. You don't want to believe that it's true. You can't bring yourself to terms to mentally accept this. The second point is anger. You become frustrated and helpless. It always seems like when you're angry while grieving, it's the closest ones to you that always get that backlash and that reflex, sort of, that reflex action of however you may be feeling or something traumatizing that may have happened to you. The third point is bargaining. You start to obsessively think or dwell on what happened, and you start to feel like, well, maybe if I did this, it wouldn't have happened, or maybe if this were this way, then things would be different. And you kind of fantasize on that to become true. Now, the fourth is depression. This is the point of grieving where, this is the ugly part, where you don't want to accept it, you can't look yourself in the mirror, you don't want to do nothing, you losing sleep, you don't have an appetite, so you losing weight. It's affecting you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and it becomes a very, very dark stage of grieving. This is the darkest stage of grieving, is depression. And I want to shed a lot of light on depression, because people seem to think that depression is just when, oh, maybe you didn't shower or eat, or maybe you just got this look on your face, or you crying all the time, when actually people can be out YOLOing, living their best lives, and you would never know that they're fighting this demon of depression, this spirit that's trying to latch onto them or stay on them. You start to notice the effect that that traumatizing situation has now had on your life, because now it's affected you so much to where you're falling into this stage. Be careful with yourself. Be very gentle with yourself. Allow yourself to feel it. Allow yourself to process it. Take your time and, you know, feel everything and heal at your own pace, which is what is very important. The last stage is acceptance. Whew. And I had to take a deep breath on that, because when you come to the stage of acceptance, it's like getting to the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow after the 40 days of the storm. After you come out of your storm and you see that sun beaming on you extra bright, and you hear the birds chirping, and you kind of fit, you accepted, oh, this is what it is, and regardless of what has happened or what the effect has come, I have to pick myself up and move back on. You accept your the reality of your loss and that it cannot be changed. Although you are sad, you press forward with life. And nobody ever wants to hear that one thing. I call it like the worst thing to say to someone when somebody's going through something. It'll be okay. Because you don't want to hear that while you're grieving. You just want to go through it and get out of it. Get through it. I do want to provide a phone number for anybody who may be experiencing grief at an overwhelming amount. Please, if you or anybody that you know ever grieve to the point where you feel like harming yourself or ending it, maybe you feel like it's just best to just, please call the National Suicide Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that is 1-800-273-8255. That is the National Suicide Line. If whoever's watching us today, even if you don't need that phone number, if you could just jot it down on a piece of paper, maybe God will put you in the way of somebody else who may need that phone number, but that is there. I also want to touch on a verse and a prayer, but we can do the prayer at the end.
Yeah, we can do
the prayer at the end. The verse that I have is Psalms 23. If y'all know, then y'all know. That's Shepherd's Prayer. Now it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the righteous paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Whoo, hallelujah. "You anoint my head with oil, God. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live." Amen to that. Amen. And amen to that. I hope that that helps somebody the way that it helped me when I read it this morning. And I was like, ooh, that's a good one. I need that. And that's my favorite part of it too, is he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies, baby. In the presence. Yeah, they gonna watch, but go ahead and give him something to look at, because he gonna prepare my table, that's for sure.
Well, thank you, Christina, for that. So as far as grief, you know, all of us has been through grief. We're all believers of God and everything, but just because you may not be in everything doesn't mean that you go through the same, don't go through the same struggles of grief and everything like that. So whatever you do for yourself, the best thing is seek help. Don't hold it inside. Don't bottle it up. Talk to somebody and get help about it. I don't know if any of the ladies want to share a grief story before we start picking or going anything. As you guys know, you know, my grief was losing my two children back to back. So that's something I still deal with, but I hide it and put it back, so it's not like a constant daily grief, but it's something that I do deal with, and it does come up. My way of grieving and stuff is just writing. You know, that's how I get my grief out, is writing, or I'll listen to gospel music, sit in my car and cry it out, because I don't like crying in front of my children or anything like that. So that's kind of what I do on my end. But any other ladies want to discuss? Or
I will, yeah. Something that has been really, really hard for me to deal with to this day, that I'm having a hard time in my grieving stages, is my sister passing. I have an older sister. Her name was Anne Marie, and she passed away of lupus back in 2015. I did not even know she was detrimentally ill until I heard the news that she passed away. So I wasn't able to go see her in the hospital. I wasn't able to go to her funeral. I found out everything like after the fact. So immediately I was angry, because I was like, well, dang, you know, like, I couldn't even get to say bye. And that for me has been so tough. Like, so tough. Because my big sister, we didn't grow up with each other, but when we connected in our adult life, it was like we had never even separated. Our bond was just like, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's just like me. She crazy just like me. She's funny just like me. She's loving and nurturing just like me. Like, oh my goodness, this is my big sister. Like, I've never had like a bigger me. And then before our relationship could like really take off, she was taken from me. And shortly after that, Mila was actually, she had just been born when I had received the news that my sister passed. But I knew that my sister was battling lupus. I just didn't know that it was that bad. But I ended up giving my daughter her name, which is Marie, her middle name. So she'll always be with me.
That's like, we never knew that about you, you know, and stuff. And that's our journey in this skirt talk and stuff like that, a lot of things are going to come out that we don't know about each other and stuff, which is awesome for us because it's bringing us closer together in a bond where we can understand each other more and be there for each other more. So mm-hmm. I love that. Thank you for sharing, Christina.
I'll go ahead and share my biggest grief. You guys gonna make me drink and
drink
some tissue and everything. But my biggest grief that I've ever experienced in life is my mom in 2015. Mm-hmm. as well. So I was going through my own pain. I didn't think I would cry, but about it. But that was like the biggest hit in my life. Like, pain. That's the biggest pain that I've ever experienced, and still to this day I still feel like I have a hole in my heart without my mom being there. But with my family being very supportive and my friends and my sisters, and like I don't have any biological sisters. I only have a brother, but
us
you guys are my biological my sisters now. But my friends is all my friends are pretty much my sisters, and they were there for me through that time of my mom being gone. So that's my grief. So all those things that you were talking about, Christina, I experienced them all to the fullest. And the way that I deal with my grief through that time is I'm not a very verbal person because I always have to be strong for everybody else around me. But getting in the car and driving and listening to music was my biggest relief. And when my kids run around, I would just get in the car, listen to music, and just cry. And it just helps. It really, really did help me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the biggest grief experience that I can definitely share with you guys that I've experienced. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, you guys. I didn't think I was going to cry.
It was okay.
That's what we're here for. And, you know, I can't imagine that one because both of my parents are still here and everything. And, yeah, mm-hmm. I ain't even finna think about it.
You're
anybody right. else want to share?
Yeah, I ain't finna have you crying, right?
Anybody else want to share?
I guess I'll share my grief story. And that's when Angel and Ebony actually entered my life, was when I was going through. I lost my mom in 2016, too. She had a stroke. And then for 3 months, we thought she was coming back. Took her home. Like, I learned how to do everything, change her feeding tube, change her diaper, clear out her ventilator. You know, we had to do a makeshift shower in the backyard because we couldn't get her into the shower, and that's what we did. Thank you. And in my culture, my mom was a very, very powerful and strong woman. She's the daughter of a paramount chief, and she let us out. She really broke up. Like, when she left us, it really broke me. And I feel like it broke the dynamics of my family because we didn't know what to do now with mom gone. Like, they're looking at me, but you're just sister. Like, you know, and it's just, everything changed. So I went through all the stages. Denial probably brought out the worst of my vices. I drank to stupor a couple years. I have a DUI. And that's what unresolved grief does. And, you know, the ladies asked me earlier, the tattoo, I made a joke, but it was really me coming to terms with my mother's death 3 years later. Like, finally being able to be like, all right, mom, I'm done. I've accepted it, you know, but it's still, I'm not this lost puppy anymore, which I felt like for the last 3 years. Like, legit, I went from... If people were to see what my life is now, they would not recognize what from when I was a little girl. Like, I've just made so many left turns, and I don't know where to make it right. And then last year, when I finally felt like, okay, I'm getting better, 3 years later, but we're making progress. So I've tried those national hotlines. There's also a national self-harming line that I've used. I text it to. I battle depression, anxiety, severe depression every day, and some other things too. But I'm here, and I'm really happy to be part of another network and a platform where I can get the help that I need. So, thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Cora.
Thank you, Cora, for being here.
Yes. Just one is everybody.
lightened up. Like last week, we was
we need to pick one.
Stuff. Like,
we should probably pick one.
Got crying. Like we need to.
I just think, like I've been saying, our testimonies or y'all's testimonies today are amazing, and just know that you're not alone. You guys lost your parents, well, except for us two, but you three lost your parents the same year. Yours is the next year. That's rough. That's rough. Even though you guys didn't know each other, but just in five of us, we lost three parents. And that quick. So, I'm just blessed. My parents are still here, thank God. I don't know what I would do. I don't even want to think about it. I just don't know what I would do. So, let's change the subject. Let's pull out of this bowl.
Before we do that, ladies, let's shout out to Chadwick Boseman.
Yes.
He died. Yes. So let's get our Wakanda forever.
Yeah, let's have a moment of silence for Chad.
Yes.
Let's have a moment of silence. Let's take it until 13.
All right, so we're going to give a shout out, and prayers and everything are going to his family. We're so sorry for your loss. Our hearts go out to us. He was a great actor, and I'm pretty sure he was a great man and everything. So praying for you, the family of him, and everybody else, keep them in prayer, because it's not easy losing a loved one, everything. So, all right, we can go ahead to this fishbowl.
Let's go.
See, pour. What we gonna talk about?
Something fun.
I know, right. We gotta get out of this little.
Ooh, okay. That's gonna be fun.
Oh, love. Gone.
The topic is insecurities.
Baby.
I'll go first. I'm so short. If I gain any more weight in my belly, I'm gonna be rolling around in my hair. My stomach, I'm definitely insecure about my stomach and my stretch marks. I hate my stretch marks. I hate my belly. And then I want my booty a little bit bigger.
You and me both, sis.
I just want about this much booty. This much more booty, Lord.
Girl.
Take it out of my belly, put it in my butt, and I'm good.
That's funny. So we're having those insecurities. What does it do to you? Like,
it makes me want to cover my freaking stomach all the time.
So how do you cope with it and get past it? And
it's not I don't really take certain things so seriously. I got three kids. So I will always.
And you look good.
Yeah. For real.
But I see people with six kids and they got that thing. I'm like, but it's okay. I do like my body, and it doesn't bother me to the point to where I'm just like depressed or something about it. Obviously, I still eat like mud.
Chicken.
I do eat healthier. I do a lot more fruit. I don't do try not to do the red meat and the pork. So I eat a little healthier, but I still eat what I want. I try not to eat late at night, but that don't really work too well. But
that's all we do.
I don't let it bother me too much. I don't let it bother me too much. I just try and find clothes that cover my stomach and lift my butt cheeks.
Some booty shorts to lift them up.
Who wanna go next?
I'll go next. My insecurities. I'm not going to say it's not an insecurity now that I'm an adult, but my insecurity growing up as a child, me and you talked about this, Kristen, is my forehead.
We did. We touched on it.
Are you serious?
No, I'm serious. Yes, girl.
I got a
kid, I used to be so self-conscious of it. I used to wear bangs until I was literally 18 years old. And it's just like, I just always wanted to, I just think I have, I made it. I think it was my mom used to always put me in bangs too. She's like, I
She
said, let's hide your forehead, baby girl. It's
to me, I don't know.
She said, I'm going to tell y'all like I told her. How many fingers can you put on that mug? Start right above the eyebrows. And if it's still folding, you got a forehead, baby. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, where your mama at? Do you?
Well, I can do. Yeah. Oh, no.
So she still has a. It's still a four.
You a forehead.
She's still a four. Yeah, now, if she had a five head, she'd be having to squeeze the thumb in there. But ain't no room for the thumb. So she good.
Stop looking at me like
she's all like.
She's like, let me see.
Let me measure your forehead. I think there's about 5, 6 going on. Like, let me put my hands on your forehead.
Laying. But yeah, for real though, that used to be my insecurity, was my forehead. I mean, like Bianca said, my stomach too and stuff like that, but I got kids, so I'm the same way. I mean, I know what I used to look. I mean, I still think I look good, but I know what I used to look before I had 6 kids, but hey, I work with that. I mean, I'm learning to love my body. Bless my oldest daughter. She's getting me like now more into, hey mom, you know, you should wear this, girl. You should show your hips and you should show, you know, you got
like
all
y'all, and she been showing them.
And she been good.
I'm the queen of showing.
Yeah, so I am like definitely coming into my body. But yeah, my biggest thing that I was insecure about was my forehead.
Damn.
Yeah.
And it's a forehead. It's not even a 5 head.
Y'all would have never guessed what I was insecure about growing up.
Don't tell me your booty.
My booty.
Everybody wanted that booty. Everybody
where
wanted that
I
booty.
Come from, they do not like it. I was teased relentlessly for my booty, for having a booty. Like, oh, you big. Like, it wasn't like big booty. Like, hey, big booty. It was like, ooh, big booty. Like, you got a big old butt. And all throughout high school, like, I was just teased. That's not the. I felt like during that time frame, my culture, or the boys, or whatever, found, you know, the slimmer side, the thinner women, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Until I moved stateside,
and
then I went on my first trip down south.
I appreciated it a little more.
Hey, wait a minute, what? Hold up, let me go get the pencil skirts now. Like, then I started coming into my own and found a small man who appreciates the booty.
The booty is your beauty.
Right.
But I guess that's my only physical trait that I'm insecure about. I'm insecure about being vocal sometimes, like being very expressive. But, you know, I feel like those things bring out the best or worst in others. Like, it'll either bring out whatever your insecurity is. If it makes you insecure, they're either going to rise up to have you embrace that insecurity and it now becomes, you know, a strength, or they're going to wear that insecurity down to where you're just, like, now feel worthless. Yeah, so, that's what I did. I was like, wait, booty's a thing here?
Yes, girl.
Hold up. Have y'all seen mine?
Yeah.
And it's all natural.
Right? Right. Coconut fed.
I have a question here when we're all done. Not really a question, but
My insecurities. One was my belly, which I've been embracing more now. The other one was a mole I had on my breast, but thank the Lord it's gone, because it looked like a little nasty booger, and I could not stand, and I had, like,
not a booger.
Big old breasts, so I had
pictures
to learn
are
how
not
to...
true. Just kidding.
I had to learn how to adjust them to make, like, the mole go on the inside and still be, but if they,
stop
yeah.
It. Oh, so when you wore low cut, it would show you?
Yeah, it would show, so I had to squish and push the inside boobies in a little more.
Take one part
and, like,
down
pop
and fold it over another corner.
Just so the mole wouldn't show, because literally, to me, it looked like I just sneezed and it fell.
Oh,
and I had
no.
And it was just so ugly. So, it's gone now, though, so thank the Lord. And then my other one, I'm not going to say I'm insecure, but I still hide them, so maybe I am. Are my ears. So growing up, everybody used to say I have big old ears. And
what?
So I used to, like, they stick out. So, like, if I ever wear my hair back, it's like your ears stick out. So I would always have, if I had my headbands, I would put them over.
That's why you do that?
Yes.
Girl,
so when you guys see me with my headbands, you know, my ears don't go outside the headbands. I put a little, and I keep them, like, you know.
I took my ears
last. So, yeah, that was
I've never, I don't know, maybe
so I cover my ears a lot.
Yeah.
So I guess I
noticed that.
Yeah. So I guess I am maybe still insecure about them, which I really don't care, but I guess I do care because I still cover them up. So
now it's more like probably a habit and you're used to having something on your ears.
Yeah, because like if I put a headband and my ears are out and it feels so uncomfortable, so I'm like, let me slide it down and cover them up. That's mine.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So you had a question. Oh, Christina.
Well, thanks, Sephora.
My bad. I'm like, you're perfect to me. I didn't think you were going to go.
Oh, my gosh. No. Honestly, my biggest insecurity is y'all can already see my bald, shiny head. Oh,
that's beautiful.
Girl.
Now, I've been so insecure about my hair since 2014, I've been battling severe alopecia. And it started like in the back of my head, like in my kitchen. My whole kitchen was gone one day, and I was just like, it was just gone, girl. Like the contractors just came and picked it up. Evicted me. Right. So I was like, oh my gosh. So I would hide it and I would do my hair and like either like how your hair is right now, I would put my hair up at the top like a little waterfall, or I would put it in like a low ponytail just so that nobody could tell I was bald headed in the back. Then my edges start falling out and I was like, oh.
And you know, edges, F-bomb. Everything. Edges, make sure your edges is like.
Girl,
everything.
I was screaming every F-bomb in the book. I was trying to find hats. I was trying to conjure up different hairstyles, comb it to the, put a middle part, and then put it right here to the side so nobody could see that I didn't have no edges no more. It was terrible. It started to really become a problem. So much of a problem that I was looking for headbands to cover. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is too much. I never thought that I would be bald headed like this, but this is really happening to me. Oh my gosh, I'm becoming a bald headed girl. So I would hide. And it got so bad to the point where, like, at first my hair was falling out and then coming back. But then it just got to the point where it was falling out and staying gone.
Dang.
Like, then. So I was like, ooh wee. I started cutting it shorter and shorter, doing different hairstyles. Then it became a bob, and then it became a pixie cut, and then it became a finger wave, and then it got so bad to, like, literally, y'all, I had bald spots, but I would do my finger wave so bomb you couldn't tell. Like, I would wave it over the bald spots, but it got so bad to where I just couldn't wave no more. It stopped waving, and I kept a head wrap on 24/7. I moved out here 2017. And I was like, dang, it's going to be hot doing this. But I'd rather do this than wind up on somebody World Star. I would rather do this than wind up on somebody's Snapchat. Because y'all not finna do me. I will snatch myself before I let somebody do me. And that's exactly what I did. So one day, I was sitting at the light rail, and I was homeless. This is in 2018. And I was sitting at the light rail. I had just got off of work, and I was going to the meetup spot so that we could go to the homeless shelter for that night. And it was just hot. Like, it was so hot. I think it had to be like at least 114 degrees outside.
Oh, man.
And I was like literally dripping sweat. And I snatched it off. And underneath, I had an oil treatment on my head. So it was just all greasy and, you know, sticking together. And you could see my bald spots. Girl, I looked crazy. Like, straight up, I looked crazy. And I called my friend. She was another homeless woman. Her name is Angie. And I got to find Angie. I got to see where she at. Because she don't even know how much she really changed my life with her clippers. Like, shout out to Angie. I called her and I was like, hey, are you at the church? And her home church actually was like, you know, she would be there during the day doing work for the church. So she was there. So I was like, are you at the church right now? I need my hair cut. And she was like, you need your hair cut. I ain't cutting your hair, girl. You better go on somewhere else and ask somebody else to cut your hair because Angie ain't doing it. So I was like, Angie, please, like, it's bad. Like, if you don't do it, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to end up making myself look crazy. So are you going to do it for me? She was like, come on over here. Let me see what you're talking about. So I showed her my head. She was like, dang, girl. Yeah, you do need to cut. So come on. She was one of them women who would just be like, yeah, you ain't lying. Come on. Like, so it's the whole thing is documented. I recorded the whole thing.
Oh, that's
the whole process. Yeah. And I was crying so bad because I was ashamed to be showing anybody this, but I felt like this was going to be my breakthrough. So pretty sooner or later, I would want somebody to see this. So I recorded it and she cut my hair. And I cried. Ooh, I cried like a baby. I was doing one of them. One of them kind of cries. And afterwards, I literally thought that I had a cone head. Because the way my head was shaped, it felt like it was a cone in the back. So I was crying. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be so ugly. This is terrible. Like, I'm going to be looking like one of these cone heads. So afterwards, she shaved it down to like how it is right now, like just a little stubble. Yeah. And she was like, all right, well, it's all gone. You can go home and get in the shower and shave the rest off, clean it up with a razor, do whatever you want to do. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I had my eyebrows on. So I was feeling pretty already. So I didn't have to really do that much. But I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, oh, I'm a bad bitch.
Right. Let's go. I don't know if I can say that. Sorry, Julian. Can I say that?
Okay. So I looked at myself and said, damn, you a bad bitch. But I felt immediately empowered. And I felt like everything that was dragging me down along with that insecurity was gone. And I didn't accept it because I wanted to. I accepted it because I had to and I had no other choice. But in that process, oh my God, I feel so deeply in love with myself. And it is the best feeling on earth. And I feel like going bald, besides my relationship with God and my two beautiful children, is one of the best things that has ever happened to me, because I've never been so vocal as I have been since I've been bald. I have never been so confident. I have never walked so high with my head up in the air and my shoulders back and my titties sitting up right like they should be. And when I feel like when I walk into it, like before, I used to feel like when I walk into a room, nobody heard me, nobody saw me. I was just, you know, there, taking up space, unnoticeable. But ever since I've been bald, I feel like when I walk into a room, my presence is demanded. And I feel that. And, oh, my spirit is so, I feel so free.
I don't think I can do it with my ears.
Girl, please, you seen Justin's ears? Yeah,
my
stop.
Like, my head don't have bro.
The revelation in that is like,
I got the faux heads, I know.
You let go of dead weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You went through that whole transformation. You dreaded it and dreaded it and dreaded it. It's like God taking little pieces.
Yeah.
Oh, you going bald?
Yeah.
We can do it now, all at one time, or we can break it down. That's what he said.
Literally.
And then you took it all off and you're like, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Like that time in my life, I was so ashamed, and I'm gonna be completely transparent, because my biggest insecurity was telling people, like, I had to admit openly that I did not have my life together because I was homeless, and it showed. It showed, baby. Who else gonna be walking around Arizona with a backpack and a purse? I ain't a cop.
That's how it shows.
I mean,
I'm running
around mid-air
like
I'm just saying. So a lot of times I probably was looking hungry too, because I was, but I was so insecure, not only about being bald, but about being homeless and the effect that it had on my life. And I was grieving. I was grieving, and it wasn't even a death. And I didn't know how to handle it other than to just say, God, just have your way, because I obviously don't know what I'm doing. And that whole, oh my gosh, that was the deepest, insecurest time in my life ever, because I would get dressed up and try to pretend that I wasn't homeless so nobody would know, and try to, you know, pull it together real quick because I gotta go to Bible study tonight, so I gotta, no, I might say nothing. But with everything, it pushed me like a foot in the back push into my relationship with God. Yep. And baby,
look at you blossoming. Now you good.
Hey. Hey,
it's probably a daily struggle to.
It's a daily. Thing, it's a daily struggle all the time, all the time, all the time, and
that's
even
for everybody. We're all like we're all gonna go through daily struggles, probably until the day we die. Like it's something's gonna always be going, but you know we gotta learn from it, move on, and keep it pushing. What's your question, B?
So Sonya on here. What's up, Sonya Rodriguez?
Hey, Sonya.
Hi. SB in Mountain Butte.
All right. She put on here, so the question was that we pulled out was insecurities, and she said that she's insecure in relationships and in love.
That's a good
So when you're insecure in a relationship, how is that, Sonya, you can answer this too. How do you move around that?
Insecurities with love, I mean... I think everybody has that.
It's to what degree do you let it affect you and control you and affect your relationship?
Yeah.
Like, there's insecurities where it's born within the relationship because something happened. And then there's insecurities that you have to acknowledge that you brought to the relationship.
That's good.
Like, I had a really, really toxic relationship. And I think a lot of it, I was going through the grieving process. I was in denial. The grief itself gave me an insecurity of being abandonment because, you know, my mom died. You know, so I'm like trying to fill this void, and I'm holding on to everything I could. And I didn't let it go until I finally, like, till like my life was trash. And I'm like, okay, we gotta let some stuff go now. Relationship, it was like, what do I do, how do I move? I feel like I'm supposed to be here, but why the hell is everything burning, man? Like, what's happening? But it's just have faith in God that he can handle the situation. You're in the right place at the right time. You just need to sit and see it through and take it back. Like with us women, I think we're the ones that are stereotyped to have the most insecurities, but I feel like men suffer it from it too. Like,
absolutely.
That's why there's so much domestic issues, right?
Like, absolutely.
But is being cognizant of it. Like, do not be in denial, because then it comes out in explosions instead of in discussions.
Yes.
Know?
Yeah.
And you cannot resolve an insecurity that way. If you want to feel secure in your relationship, turn to your person and talk to your person.
Yeah.
That's true. That's good.
Ooh. Yeah. Period. Yep. Was that a period poo moment? Yes. That was my kids always mess with me because I always be like, period poo, and they be like, Mom, that ain't even when you supposed to say that.
I can't say the same thing. I'd be like, period. They'd be like,
you wasn't in that decade. There's my period poo moment.
You got to say it with the smack.
We got about a few more minutes. We're going to pull one more.
Is there any more questions?
Here, Angela.
That's it for me.
Oh, dating outside of your race.
Like, I'll be first one to start. I don't mind. I will
y'all
do
play
it.
That.
As long as you a good man and you treat me right, I don't mind. I'll date outside my race.
How'd it work out for you?
Now, on the flip side of that, would I want to marry somebody outside my race? I could possibly. But I love my chocolate men, so... I don't know if I would want to marry outside my race because I just love my chocolate kings. Like, I want to wake up to that every morning. Not to say that I won't marry somebody outside my race, but what I love is what I think I would want to love and wake up to. So, for me, yes, I will.
Date outside your race.
Who else?
I'm in a relationship, and I'm not opposed. If I wasn't in a relationship, I'm not opposed to dating because there is some pretty fine other races.
Yes,
but I'm like Ebony. I love my chocolate.
king. So, I mean, that's what I prefer. But am I opposed to it? Hey, I would date out my race. I mean, it's not even about the race. This is just about who you fall in love with or who you are attracted to. Yeah. My main thing is if I'm attracted to you, I'm attracted to you. I don't care what color you are.
Exactly.
So, but I do, like, attraction, my attraction-wise is my black king. So, I mean, that's what I prefer. But I will date outside of my race if I'm attracted to somebody
else. And I
have
dated,
like,
outside my race.
So.
In my teen years, I was married to the devil.
I want to know why Sephora is giggling.
I feel like I'm going to get in trouble with this topic.
Oh, drink up.
We'll go be Sephora and then Christina.
Okay, so I've never dated outside my race.
Right.
I love my black men. I love
my black men.
I'm trying to sit here and think of somebody that is outside of my race that I found attractive. I used to say Matthew McConaughey when he had his little curls.
Yeah,
it is.
I like Matthew McConaughey.
But, I like Mark Wahlberg.
But he's on the smaller side. Yeah, Wahlberg. Yes, baby. That body.
What?
But I can't do the receding hairline. And I feel like we don't crack. So, I just love my black men. I love you guys.
To find somebody that is fine and hook them up with Bianca and give her experience of dating outside the race.
Wait a minute.
I'm scared. They're trying
step
to set me up.
Step outside your comfort zone and have an experiment. So that's gonna be our little
baby.
Cast. That's gonna be our task.
Y'all trying to give me
shots. Sephora and the Christina, because we about to be done.
Don't be trying to skip you.
So,
you better keep it light. Yes, no, move
Change
on.
Change your words.
So let me explain it. I did date outside my race, but I came back to my race. Okay. Only because, okay, so there's, like you guys say, like, it's different. It's a different experience when with somebody that knows your culture. So after my divorce, I did date, played the field. You know, my sisters were just like, you've been a goody-two-shoes that did the whole marriage, boom, baby, you know, career. Go have fun, let loose. Which I did. And it was crazy. And I was like, yeah, no, I need to go back to my peoples because there's a perspective, there's a personality that we describe as Bob or fresh off the boat. And it's like being very, like, I don't know, it's a persona. Like, you talk differently. There's a slang. There's a pidgin language. There's mannerisms. And that's how I am. Like, if I say make a joke in Samoan, it does not have the same effect if you don't know my culture.
Right.
Yeah. You don't know what I'm referring to.
Gotcha.
So that's why I came running back. And also because I want to go back home and I want to take home a chief. Like, somebody that can climb the Samoan culture ranks with me.
Nice.
And I was not, and I did have this conversation with somebody who was like, oh, so you're just racist. Like, no, I'm not. I do not want to put you in
preference.
A position where I take you back home and now you are dissatisfied with the quality of your life because you're up against my culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm dissatisfied with you because you're not performing to par like you promised me you would.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like,
that's
might
good.
As well just nip it in the bud. We're good. We can be homies, but I'm going to go back and I like my coconut.
Yeah.
I found my coconut.
So I found
my coconut.
All right, Christina.
Dating outside my race. Well, I'm glad we got 1 minute because we can make this quick, girl. I never dated outside my race, and I have never been attracted to anybody who was not black or brown.
Yeah.
Oh, so we got two.
I've seen like some good looking individuals. Like, oh, you know, he's fine. You know, but nothing really gets my gears grinding than seeing a black man or a brown man.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Sorry. See, I don't understand
that.
My sister,
that
get along with y'all. My older cousin.
That
like,
just really, really does
like,
something for my soul. When you can slow, like, you know, how black people, we like to slow dance in the kitchen. Sometimes it may not even be no music playing, but, you know, we can slow dance.
Right.
And, you know, we will understand it.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I've had that experience with other individuals, and it's just, was like, oh, there's not even any music playing. Well, I mean, music is in your heart. It's supposed to be there.
Y'all know. Y'all drink.
I know, for real. So, anybody out there that's watching our show, if you got somebody outside the African-American black race that is single, hit us up, put it in our inbox so we can hook up these two ladies take them on their first. Hey, we're jumping. Look, we said we was gonna try a new thing, so hook y'all up. Y'all can go on a double date and let us know how it is.
We'll be there to commentate.
And for our winner, I forgot what's her name.
Her name is Lauren. Lauren won.
Lauren
Alvarez.
Lauren Alvarez, hit us up. Woo! You are our winner. Forgot what the difference was between the last show and this show, or the show before that.
First show and the next show.
Of me. She got it correct. And so Lauren Alvarez, hit us up in the inbox and we'll go ahead and send you your gift.
Thank you everybody for tuning in. It's been real. Wakanda forever. Wakanda. Y'all can't tell me there ain't no Wakanda. No, Wakanda exists. I'm going to Wakanda today. We do not want to stay. We're going to Wakanda today.
After we go to Wakanda,